easily navigate your retirement transition with tips, tools, and strategies on this edition of Golf Life Navigator's Guide to Success with your hosts, Fred Altvader and Jason Becker.
Welcome to this edition of Golf Life Navigator's Guide to Success. I'm Fred Altvader, and I'm joined by my co-host, PGA professional and co-founder of Golf Life Navigator's, Jason Becker. Jason, it's great to talk with you again, and as well as our panel of experts about Florida golf communities, real estate opportunities, and retirement tips to plan for the perfect retirement to Florida. How are you, and what's new with Golf Life Navigators?
Doing great, Fred. How about yourself up there in the Midwestern area?
Well, I'm just looking out my office window here this morning, and there's about 3-4 inches of snow on the ground. They're calling for more snow, more ice. This is not the place to be. I'd much rather be down where you're at.
Yeah, we won't. You don't want to know what it's like down here in South Florida. Everything's going great with Golf Life Navigators. We have a number of clients coming into town. The season's really starting to pick up. You can certainly see it on the roadways, and the golf courses are extra busy this time of year. So very, very happening place in South Florida these days.
We have a very interesting show loaded with some timely information, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from expert James Shoemaker talk about his recent trip to China. Dan Cogger of Raymond Financial is going to talk a little bit about some financial advice for future retirees. And also, I'm excited to learn about Del Air Country Club from their head professional, Joe Jones. Plus, we have Mark Derlin joining us today, who's a longtime teaching professional in Naples, Florida, that will give our listeners tips on playing their best golf in Florida, and Lord knows I could use that. But first, let's start off the show today with the latest information about Golf Life Navigators. On our last broadcast, Jason, you talked about the mission statement of the company. Could you tell our listeners a little more about Florida and what they should expect this winter if they're planning on traveling to the Sunshine State?
Sure, Fred. Yeah, when any of our clients get down here, we want to make it a home away from home experience. So leading up to their arrival in South Florida, we'll map out the golf communities that we think are a really good fit for them. We reach out to those membership directors and head golf professionals and make a formal introduction so that way when they come down here, they can go play and tour these facilities. And the beauty of it is the 3 to 4 facilities that we're going to show them meet all their expectations, desires, and financial requirements. So for them, they get to come down, use their time wisely, play a lot of golf, and just enjoy the experience, and then have a support system here. And then that's so important. I do a lot of travel in the summertime up north, and when I go to a new city or an uncharted territory, you don't know where to go. You don't know who to talk to, and you don't know where to go find a good steak. So our clients certainly know they can reach out to us at any time, and we'll help them in the right direction and give them kind of some tips on the local markets as well while they're here.
So one of the great strengths of being involved with someone like Golf Life Navigators, it does help offer that support system. You guys are the experts. You know where the good stuff is, and you can pass that information along to potential retirees or someone looking to relocating to Southern Florida.
Yeah, it's even when they get down here, we go out and play golf right away. 4.5 hours you spend with someone, you can really learn a lot about them. And a lot of times what will happen is we might have a couple communities in mind before playing golf, and by the time we get done with that round, there's some others that pop into the equation just based on what we learn. So all in all, it's an exciting experience. We get to make new friends. We're there when they get off that airplane, and then can see them too before they head home. So happy to finally have the folks we've been working with for the past year get down here and thaw out a little bit and get to playing some golf.
I also want to mention before we get into the rest of the show that I read an article by Blair Howard about relocating to Florida and about travel. And it mentioned Golf Life Navigators, a little bit more information. It can be read at golftravel.about.com. It's the January 10th date. So, again, you could see that at golftravel.about.com. Well, thanks, Jason, for that information. For more tips on Florida retirement opportunities and to learn more about Golf Life Navigators, our listeners can visit golflifenavigators.com. Everything is right there. You even have some information and reviews by people that you have helped in the past. I've listened to some of those. You have a list of some of the clubs that you work with. And we should mention, too, before we get away, that your service is always free to potential retirees.
That's correct. Yep, the consumer is going to have enough cost of relocating to Florida, and we don't want to add another one to it. So yeah, our services are complimentary to all of our clients.
Well, let's bring James Shoemaker into the conversation. Jason, we are excited to have James of Golf Life Properties from southeastern Florida on the show once again. And James, I understand you just arrived back from a trip to China. Could you tell us a little about that?
Sure. Great to be on again. I'm just getting acclimated to the time change and the flight. It's 13 hours ahead, so 20-hour flight and a 13-hour time change. I think I've got my breakfast and dinners finally matched now after a couple days of settling in. The purpose of the trip was I also work for a company called Encore Capital Management. They're a private equity firm that has a little over two under management, and they develop projects around the United States, one of which is in Orlando called Encore Resort Homes. And that's also a community that Golf Life Properties is working with and bringing clients to from a brokerage standpoint. So they work hand-in-hand very well together. But that project in Orlando is specifically attracting a lot of international investors from all over the world, being such a tourism destination drive market. China is one of those markets that we present, build awareness to on why Florida and why Florida real estate. So that was the purpose of the trip, is to create more channels and alliances and relationships in Asia markets.
From other people I've talked to in the past, there is a large percentage of the population, well, I shouldn't say a large percentage, but a small percentage of the population in China is a lot of people. And so although maybe the wealth is concentrated in a small percentage of the population in China, those people are looking to come to the United States, and Florida is a perfect place for them. And so that's kind of helping drive the market, and you're going to see an influx of more Chinese into southern Florida, central Florida area, right?
Absolutely. The Chinese travelers have already been a big proponent of coming to Florida for the climate, for the lifestyle, for the golf communities. They're very big golfers. With, you know, the recent uncertainties that you may have witnessed or read, actually while I was over there in the market making headlines, it's making it even more attractive for Chinese investors in those Asian markets to look at maybe a more stable market that doesn't have such volatility that they're facing now. And so what we're finding out is that they have already been liking to relocating to Florida, but they're coming in bigger buckets this time, and they're looking not only for that lifestyle play for golf and for attractive real estate investments, but they're also looking for something that could also be a second home, as well as a home for their children for education and higher ed in these markets. So there's a lot of different plays that are making it attractive for making them to come from abroad, especially from Asia.
You mentioned there financial uncertainty in China, and certainly headlines last week have Wall Street a little jumpy about the Chinese economy. Can you maybe enlighten us a little bit on what you saw while you were there and maybe your take and how that may translate to the Florida real estate market here over the next year or two?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. You know, when you have a stock market crash or a correction or you have volatility, you can have kind of both extremes. You can have groups of people that sit on the sidelines that don't really want to participate in anything financially because they want to wait and see what happens. And then you have a complete other side of the spectrum where they want to continue to diversify their asset allocation and diversify their financial dollars into other means. You know, the real estate market is one of those things that we've experienced. The Chinese market, Shenzhen, Beijing, they've all experienced huge population growth and huge economic growth. It's still going to grow, but I think what we're experiencing now, at least while I was there and talking to experts, is that it's really time for more of a correction, for things to slow down but still grow. And so that slower growth than maybe analysts expected, I think, is going to equate to higher droves of momentum for Asian buyers coming to Florida to buy real estate. So I think as a whole, this is going to more of a boost for Florida real estate than anything. And as they figure out their currency issues and political issues, among others, it's still very, very attractive for them to look at Florida real estate.
You were talking last time about the international market and its effect on Florida real estate. And you also mentioned then that Florida real estate market has rebounded over the past 7, 8, 10 years, and you're seeing a steady increase in demand and pricing. So with this new influx of Chinese money, with other international clients looking to come to that area, is there any end in sight to the market increase? Is it going to be a steady increase? Do you see a plateau? And do you see a time when maybe it's the time not to wait? Let's do something now. If someone's looking to relocate down there in maybe 5, 8, 10 years, maybe the time is now to do something rather than wait until these prices go up. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, yes and no. Will it plateau? Is there any end in sight? I personally don't think so. I think the catalyst still is what we've talked about earlier, which is supply and demand. You know, with substantial numbers, when you talk about over 300,000 people moving to Florida, that's constant growth and that's constant demand. And the reason people are coming internationally and from locally for that is, you know, it's people looking for retirees, it's for second home buyers, they're looking for a great climate, tax advantages, and of course, what we really focus on and know is a big priority is that outdoor life's really paradise. So, for the individual, it's still about short and long term objectives for that individual. Also, what location and market and type of product that they want. But we again see things so favorably from all of the aforementioned here that people continue to see that this is something that they want to be part of with the millennials and the continued growth of baby boomers and next gen and the next group of people. It's going to be consistent, constant growth. The pricing, that is really going to be up to overall market conditions and economic conditions. But, right now it's getting back to the basics of having a really good real estate properties that's where you have a trusted advisor and they're experts to help them navigate into what's the right community, what's the right home, what's the right price, what's the good market comps, and get the best due diligence you can. So that's always key for people looking to relocate.
So once again, it kind of falls back to the Golf Life Navigators' total idea and mission to have a team in place that can touch bases with all the parts of someone planning a retirement. Jason, do you have any other questions for James for today's show?
No question. Just very excited. I know, Fred, you come out of the PGA show every year. This will be James's first time up there this year, and I'm really excited for him to come and kind of just see the power of the golf industry and how many international folks there are that come to Orlando to attend it every year. I think that it'll be great. One of our listeners are going to be at the show and they want to chat with James Sidebar, I'm sure he'll be more than happy to do so.
We can find James at the Golf Life Navigators site. He is one of the partners of Golf Life Navigators. And so if you want to talk to him or get directly or get more information, go there. For the next segment, we're going to bring in Dan Cotter from Raymond Financial. He's going to help our listeners with items that need to be considered when beginning to plan for that perfect retirement. I'm going to put that in quotes for you, Dan, because I know that's one of your favorite topics. Dan, welcome back to the show, and you're going to tell us all about that, right?
Well, as much as I'm capable of, but as we all know, there is no quote-unquote perfect retirement until maybe if you won the Powerball recently and netted out $750 million, you might be able to construct a plan without any worries. But the majority of wealthy people have very, very big concerns about their retirement beyond age 80. And we're all living longer. And when we sit down with clients, when all financial advisors sit down with clients, probably one of the great exercises to run for individuals if they're considering retiring in Florida or South Carolina or California is inflation. I know we have level interest rates for the past decade. However, if you look at the true inflation rate of 1.8 to 2.3% annually, and you run those numbers out 10 years from now, a carton of milk almost doubles. And as a result of that, whether it's the price of automobiles, whether it's the price of homes, as we heard earlier from James, it's going to keep going up. It's not going to go down. So the two issues are inflation and taxes with retirement. That being said, the basics of Social Security will be there, but they will change a bit. It's good to defer income from Social Security if people can afford until age 70, and Congress may change that again. And then you have pensions and defined benefit plans and 401ks and other means of tax-deferred investment savings to help you on the ride during these good years. The mistake that people are making in planning is that they plan and say, I'm going to die around 80. My father never lived that long, or my mother lived until she was 85, and I won't live beyond then. What we're finding in today's modern world is people are living beyond age 100, and any of us listening to this broadcast has that capability. So when you put that third tranche, which I label as age 85 to 100, dynamics change, and we've seen this happen in Florida because when people get older, their needs of accommodation change, their needs to sell properties change, their needs of inheritance change, and there's many, many things to plan beyond the good years, which I label as 55 to 80.
You talked a little bit in there, you mentioned inflation and things just kind of seem to keep going up. Inflation has leveled off since the Reagan administration, but we all, you know, a couple of us here have lived through some double-digit inflation back in the 70s and 80s, and I remember a time when I got a pay raise, and by the time tax were taken out, I actually ended up less net pay than I was getting, and inflation was going along at 12% for the year. So do you have any tips that the listeners can do right now to maybe plan ahead, other than just talk to someone, something they might do or think about to help offset that inflation later on, or because they are living a little bit longer, over maybe the last 10 to 15 years of their working years prior to retirement?
Well, Fred, we can argue inflation and what it's been and everything else, but it really comes down to saving. And it really comes to, if you make a dollar, how much are you going to put away? And is it going to be 15, 20%? The millennials of today, they can't afford that. Some of the senior citizens, that's all they ever did. They came out of the Depression. There are many vehicles that we have in corporations and companies, such as 401k plans. The old pension plans are pretty much over. Only 8% of the United States corporations now offer what they refer to as defined benefit plans because they're so costly. And the point being is there really isn't any guarantee of income anymore other than saving and getting the right advice on how to do it and where to put it. I do believe in alternative investments, such as real estate, which is why what Golf Life Navigators is doing is so creative, yet so simple. They're asking people what they can afford, what community would they be most comfortable in, and most importantly, how can your savings afford this? Can you really afford this country club? Can you really afford this house? What's it going to be like in 10 or 15 years? Are you still going to be working until age 70? What's the uses are you going to get in this real estate? And in a market like Florida, that's a good investment. So there's many, many ways to save the money. It's just all relative to the use and the timing of it.
This is always a priority with you and your clients, but it's always important to reassess and make sure you're kind of staying on track. Things change over time. You need to get back with your advisor or your financial planning team or your retirement planning team, whatever it may be, an expert like yourself, to kind of reassess from time to time and make sure you're on the right track. Isn't that correct?
Well, you're absolutely correct, Fred. I believe that people should meet with their advisor a minimum of once every 6 months. And in these volatile times, at least communicate quarterly. And at the beginning of every year, it is paramount that you go over a revision of whatever your plan or portfolio or investment timeframes is. It's people's risk changes. People get scared with issues that we have going on overseas. You need to provide support and guidance during this times of market volatility. We have geopolitical turmoil. That's offsetting people's investments and what they want to do. We have poor positions in cash, meaning that they won't make any money to achieve that goal that we just talked about with retirement. What we see so often are life-changing events, and that could be happenings with one's family moving back into a home, a death in the family, a disability, a mother or father or parents needing long-term care suddenly, and how do they afford that particular home, assisted care facility, et cetera. So it is so, so important for all the listeners to meet with your advisor, keep that relationship going, know that he or she trusts that you will listen to them, and make sure that you stay on top of things, because it's just important to communicate and not go to sleep on the savings that we have to protect the golden years.
I think that's the questions that I had around for Dan today. Jason, anything else that you might want to quiz Dan about?
Well, yeah, just as a little teaser to the audience, you know, one of our topics next week is going to be on homesteading and you know, domiciling in the state of Florida, which so many people are looking into these days. And when we go up and we do our northern forums in northern states, one of the questions that comes up quite often is that, you know, I don't want to live in Florida 6 months in a day. And I think that's, and Dan can elaborate on this a little bit, but it's a little bit of a misconception. It's not that you have to live in Florida 6 months in a day. It is you just can't live in Ohio 6 months in a day. Am I correct, Dan, in that?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. For someone like James, who travels all the time, pretend that he did not live in Florida, and going to China and going to all over the world as he does, those are days away from the state of Florida, which could qualify him in other states as a resident, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get much more into that that topic next week. I know it's a hot topic amongst our clients up north, and look forward to going into deeper on that next week.
Yeah, I used to have a friend who had to count those days down. He was actually on the on the bank board at one of the local banks and would have to fly back. He would just come back for 1 or 2 days for the meetings and fly back to Florida quick because he couldn't spend too much time in Ohio. Well, Dan, again, thank you so much for visiting with us today and bringing your great insight. We look forward to hearing more about the homesteading and the time requirements in future episodes. Next up on today's show, we want to welcome Joe Jones, who is the head golf professional at Delair Country Club, located just outside of Delray Beach on the eastern coast of Florida, right between Port Lauderdale and West Palm Beach. Joe, it appears that Delair Country Club is in a great location, close enough to Miami if someone wants to head to the bright lights and upbeat tempo of South Beach, but they're far enough north to enjoy a little quieter lifestyle.
Fred, that's true. I've been the head professional here at Delair for 28 years. It's a wonderful facility. It's a private club. It's located on Military Trail in Delray Beach. It's 27 holes of beautiful golf. The club was designed in 1979 by Joe Lee, a famous architect who's done many golf courses around South Florida and the country, over 300, I presume. The club has 326 homes. We also have a beautiful driving range that we tee off on both sides, plenty of space. We have a beautiful fitness center, a family-oriented swimming pool that was built 3 years ago. The clubhouse is a $20 million facility that is absolutely gorgeous. We opened it about 3 years ago. And it's been a great success having the new clubhouse available for our older and newer members. We've sold about 30 homes in the past year. There's about 7 or 8 homes have been knocked down, and we offer a great golf program. My brother is my assistant professional. He's been with me since day one, 28 years. I have another assistant, works in a golf shop. We have a 1,200-square-foot golf pro shop. We do about $400,000 in gross sales a year. We offer several demo days from all the manufacturers. We have 100 golf tournaments a year that we offer the members to participate in. We have men's member guests, mixed member guests, women's member guests. We have a ladies' golf league of 160 players where each Tuesday morning they have an 18-hole and 9-hole event that approximately 80 to 100 players play in. We have a men's Wednesday league with approximately the same amount of players. And we have a 9-hole and an 18-hole event for the men golfers on Wednesday. We make the pairings so everyone gets to meet each other. I personally interview most people that come to the club. I'm kind of like first guy hands-on. Since I know everybody at the club, I can tell you every person's name, all their children and grandchildren. We have a program here at Del Air where if you're a member, your parents are called one up and your children and grandchildren are called two down. They have the privilege to play here at no cost. They can play here 365 days a year after 1 o'clock at no charge. And it's been a blessing, that whole program.
I'm telling you what, I'm ready. I'm on a plane yet this afternoon. I'm heading your way. You mentioned the pool is family friendly. You also mentioned a lot about that you have 27 holes of golf. Joe Lee designed the course. From what I understand, you have a lot of trees. You have some great greens, green complexes that make it a challenging course, really make it member friendly and a good place to call for play as a country club. Let's talk. I think you have some tennis facilities also, correct?
We do. We have a nice tennis program. Before I get into that, I'll give you a little background about the staff. The heads of the departments, I'm here 28 years. The tennis pro, his name is Lawrence Sagel. He's been here for 25 years. The fitness director, Phil Bain, has been here for 18 years. The chef, Glenn, has been here for 24 years.
They can't get rid of you guys. You stick around. They can't get rid of you.
They keep paying us in full. So we have a great team. And now that you want to talk about tennis, there's a lot more tennis players now than there were in the last 5 or 6 years because newer members are coming in and they're tennis players. But the tennis pro has a program where he has a list of non-members of all different skill levels that he calls up to make matches with the members. So, you know, tennis being a little bit, you have to be a little bit more equal in your skill. He has that list where he does that on a daily basis, and that works out great. I think there's 8 tennis courts, actually.
I read something, too, that they have a spa there that offers vado therapy, which employs licensed physical therapists who provide these services, can be covered by everyone's insurance program with a prescription from physicians. So that has to be a pretty nice program for you.
It is. It's something they put in place. They've been here for 2.5 years. And it just a little added extra for some of the elder members and some injured younger members that they don't have to leave the premises. It works well.
Now you said you just did a big renovation project, the pool, the new work on the clubhouse. Talk a little bit about the dining facilities. Can I get a hamburger down there if I come down there?
You can. The food is second to none in the area. They've been rated tops in Palm Beach County many times. A light fare on Wednesday evenings. Members, they get 200 members come in for the light fare. You wouldn't think it's a light fare, but they offer, you know, multiple options in dining.
Joe, I also looked on the website. I saw some video testimonials. So anybody that that's considering Del Air Country Club, they can then go to your website and watch those testimonials. And I know the couples on there stress that you have a real family atmosphere there at Del Air Country Club.
We do, and that's where the one up and two down has played a tremendous part. Over the years, you know, if you come here at the Christmas holidays when the kids have a couple weeks off, all the families seem to migrate here because we offer that ability to play at no cost. And with 27 holes, we can put a lot more people on the golf course, and we have no starting times. If you're a member of Del Air, you drive up to the club, whether it be in your golf cart from your home or your car from outside the facility. You check in with the starter, and he puts you out. So if you have guests, you can play whenever you want. You don't have to get a starting time 3 days in advance, and it's a tremendous perk. So the families migrate here. We take good care of them, of course. We have junior clinics. I have beginner golf clinics. I have intermediate golf clinics. We host those on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Jason, any questions for Joe before we move on?
Right, yeah, kind of a comment slash question for you, Joe. As a fellow PGA professional, one of the things that we know in our market here in South Florida is there's a lot of turnover at facilities and not long tenure of the golf professional anymore. And for the prospective member that are coming down here now, you look at a club that has a lot of turnover and not a lot of stability, and it kind of it should raise some flags. And I find it very, very impressive that not only your tenure, but the tenure of the other department heads there, and really how important that should be for a prospective member to pay attention to when they're searching.
Well, it's a team effort. We eat lunch together every day, talk about daily issues. We help each other. We love working here. It's a great place. The members are fantastic. Our general manager, Trent Squire, he's a great man to work for. He's the COO. It's a team all the way around. Any event we have a staff meeting. We make sure everybody's on the same page. With the density that we have for the amount of holes that we have, we make it a point that everyone knows everyone's name. Whether you go to the dining room, whether you go to the fitness, whether you come to play golf, we know you. We know who you might want to be with, and we try to pair that up, and that just gives us longevity. And myself, being a part of the getting together with the membership, has helped me to learn people earlier in their start at a club, and I think it just all works well together.
Joe, thanks so much for the great insight into Del Air Country Club right outside of Delray Beach. On the eastern coast of Florida. You can find out more information about Del Air Country Club at delair.org, delaire.org, and visit their website, see the testimonials, check out all the facilities and amenities they have there for their members. Sounds like just a wonderful location. Thank you, Joe. Next guest up today on Guide to Success is PGA professional Mark Durlin, who is the owner of Durlin Golf Schools in Naples, Florida. His website is durlandgolf.com. That's durlandgolf.com/schools. Mark, welcome to the show. How did you decide to become a teaching professional, and can you tell us a little about your passion for golf and the Durlin Golf School?
Absolutely, Fred, and thank you and Jason for having me on. And as far as my background and how I became a teaching professional was, as a kid, I started playing golf. My dad, we had a little golf course in our hometown, and my dad worked for Procter & Gamble there, and they had a P&G league every Tuesday, and he would drag me along, and I would pull his pull cart for him. And the next year, it looked like fun, and I'm like, well, maybe I want to try this. And so I'm a left-handed golfer, and he got me some left-handed clubs, and as they say, the rest is history. Then our high school team was a pretty good team, and we had a booster club, and my family couldn't necessarily afford lessons, but the booster club raised enough money that they could send us each for 6 lessons. And I started taking lessons from a local pro in our area, started playing golf with him, and enjoyed our time, and the other kids didn't take advantage of their lessons, so I got to use a lot more than 6, and just spending time around him. Towards the end, as a little later in high school, as I became a better player, and through his teaching, we would go out on the golf course and play against each other, and a couple times I beat him. I don't know, he might have let me, but I was just like, wow, I could probably do this, and I certainly enjoyed being with him and the lifestyle that he had, and certainly enjoyed golf and being on the golf course. As far as my passion for golf, I want people to enjoy the game as much as I have in my life. The things that it's given me, I want to pass that on. And I always say at my golf school that the best lesson I could ever give is to help somebody both enjoy their life and the game more. Those are basically my start and my passion for the game are what drives me.
Mark, I'm going to talk here about a subject that has plagued man for centuries. I know you probably have a good answer for it. I'd like to think of myself as a better than average putter, but when I travel to Florida from here in the north and find myself from Bermuda Greens, I just look like I've never even held a putter in my hands before. Can you give us northerners some tips to deal with the difference between bent grass and Bermuda Greens?
Absolutely, and I think it is a challenge. A lot of what I see different from the north down here to Florida is in the north, the bent grass greens, most of the golf I've played in the north, I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania. There's a lot of undulation to the greens up north, smaller greens, usually tilted back to front. So the breaks are really defined, where I feel here in Florida, the greens are flatter for the most part, and the breaks are more subtle. And then you start to figure in the grass down here does have grain. I feel like the new strains of Bermuda, for instance, where I teach at Naples Grand Golf Club, we have Tiff Eagle greens, which is a newer strand of Bermuda. And so the grain isn't as prevalent, but yet I think you still need to pay attention to it. And so what I teach and I like to do in my own game is I'll make my read and then probably I put about 10% into where the grain is going or maybe add 10% to the break at the end after I figure out what's going on. And good ways to determine where the grain is going is if you are able to get up around the hole and you see the rough side or the ruffled edge, the brown edge of the hole, that's the direction the grain is typically going. Another way to determine that too is you can see different shades of the green. Typically downhill is down grain because that's the way the water runs. So if you can get on a green and figure out what's uphill, what's downhill, and look down the hill, you'll see it's much shinier than if you walk around the green to the opposite side and look back up, you'll see a much darker green. So I think a lot of it is just deciding where the grain is, and then after you make your read, maybe adding 5 or 10%, depending on the strain of Bermuda that you're playing on and how much you feel the grain is really affecting, because I feel it changes from golf course to golf course. I'm sure Jason could probably chime in on that too.
Yeah, it certainly does. When you come down here, it's important to take that first. It's just one hour lesson just to understand how to read the greens. It's so important because it'll save. You know, even 4 or 5 strokes around adds up.
From working with retirees as they come down there, they may relocate from New York or Pennsylvania or Ohio or Illinois or wherever. Do you find that they may need an adjustment period? Maybe maybe they struggle at first when they first come down there. It's a little different situation for them.
Absolutely, and I'll share a story with you guys. So when I came to Florida, I guess I was in my early 20s, 20, 21, 22, right out of college, and thought I was a pretty good player. Probably thought I was a lot better player than I actually was. But I came down here, and I really struggled. I struggled scoring, and I had played most all my golf, and as I mentioned earlier, in Pennsylvania, on bent grass, and it took me a while to figure it out. And I think it kind of reflects back to the question you just asked me about bent and Bermuda. Certainly, it's a challenge on the greens, but I find it more of a challenge in the playing areas as far as tee to green. I feel up north, the ball sits up a little higher, and you can typically, what we see, a pattern that we see with students, there's a scoop pattern where they want to change their wrist angles through impact and kind of flick the ball up into the air. And up north, when the ball sits up on top of the grass, it's not a problem. But you get down here to Florida and the Bermuda grass and the way that it grows, it's a much tighter lie. So not that it's cheating, but we can't get away with scooping or flipping the ball or kind of cheating it up into the air, where we have to create good impact alignments, hit down on the golf ball, compress the golf ball to get it up in the air. And that's probably the biggest thing through my years teaching in Florida, working with retirees. I mean, every year I get
handful of students who've, okay, you know, I played a little bit before I had my kids and I started my career, only got to play occasionally the last 20 years, but now I'm down here, I'm retired, I want to take this seriously. I know it's a part of the lifestyle here in Florida and in Naples, Florida especially, and I want to get better. And that's probably what I see, and it's certainly a challenge in the different type of grass, how you can put the club face on the ball to have a successful round in Florida.
One of the things that I found, too, from moving from up here to down there to play is that, of course, there's a lot more water hazards on the courses down there, so take more balls with you when you leave the clubhouse. But also wind is normally a factor, and I know that can be frustrating. A lot of people have problems playing in the wind, so do you have any advice for people that are coming down there, you know, maybe more water hazards that they're going to deal with and the wind that they're going to see?
Absolutely. I think the first thing I would like to say on that topic is I think it leans more to the mental side of the game when it comes to water hazards, wind. I like to call it interference. It's mental interference. So I think a lot of it, if we can control our inner caddy a little bit better or what's going on in our mind, what we're saying to ourselves before we get over a shot. Obviously, if I get over a shot and I say I don't want to hit it in that water hazard over there, I think we all kind of know what happens after I do that. Or if I get over a shot and I feel maybe it's a drive that intimidates me a little bit and I feel the wind strong in my face and I say, wow, the wind's really blowing in my face here. All of a sudden, the nerves start to go and I'm not going to make as good a swing as I can. So I certainly think it starts from a mental aspect and taking that interference out of there as best you can by controlling your inner caddy, not bringing light to the water hazard and to the wind. More specifically, when we start playing in the wind, I've always opted and had the most success to club up a club or two, obviously depending on how heavy the wind is, playing the ball back in our stance. Probably the worst thing, and I think it's what I see most people do, is they'll get into the wind and they won't have the proper club, and so they'll try and hit it harder. They'll swing harder, hit down typically a little bit more, and the ball comes out spinning much more. And when a ball's spinning into the wind, that's not a good thing. So if we could take a little bit more club, it's the old adage, swing easy when it's breezy. But if we can play the ball back in our stance, take a little bit more club, make more of a flowing, easy arm swing, I think we'll control the ball a little bit better and see it fly through the wind, not spin and balloon into the wind, which is common.
Yeah, those are really good tips. Jason, any questions for Mark?
Well, I would add, Mark, and you can elaborate on this with me. When we have a lot of clients that are coming down here, and a lot of spouses don't play, they're females that want to get into the game, but they're nervous, and they feel like they're just not going to be good enough to play or to learn all the rules. And I try to explain to them that the average female USGA handicap last year was like a 28.9. So there's you're not coming down here, you're going to be put in with a lot of elite players, and there's nothing to worry about. Well, one of the other aspects of it too is I think they're looking for a female professional as well. And Mark, do you employ any females at your school for those ladies that are looking for a female instructor?
Absolutely. I have a young lady who's very well recognized in the golfing and the teaching side of the golfing industry. Her name is Sarah Dixon, and she runs two ladies clinics for me at my golf school on Wednesday mornings, one at 9:30, one at 10:30. And that's really what we call it, a ladies learning club. Really, that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to create an open learning environment that's not intimidating to them. And really, in my experience, what happens is when women get introduced to the game and they start playing, they find that there's a lot of other women that are really in the same category that they are in, or play to the same level. And so it's a great place for them to meet people. Naples Grand, the golf club that I teach at, is not open to the public. It's a private membership club, and then we're a resort as well, so we allow resort guests there. But my golf school is open to anyone. So Sarah's done very well with that ladies learning club. And as I said, it's a non-intimidating environment for
women to jump into the game and meet other women and go from there. And we've seen that repeatedly year after year.
Yeah, it's so important. It's nice to be able to have a warm welcome, and they know that they certainly are. One last thing, Mark, that I know everyone is curious, as you see people come into your school, are in being a PGA professional yourself, are you a big proponent of the Tee It Forward plan, especially for the person that has a higher handicap?
Absolutely. I don't think that I could go on for hours about this, and I'll try not to. But I'll keep it very because it pushes my buttons when we start talking about this. But no, I'm a huge proponent of it. I mean, listen, the game is about having fun, right? We want to have fun playing golf, and for me, and I think it's the same for you, Jason, as a golf professional as well. And if I went to a golf course and all I did was hit drivers and three woods and hybrids all day, I wouldn't want to come back. I wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't want to play golf that way. But golfers should play at a yardage that they're hitting the same clubs as if you and I went out and played the tips, and, you know, we're hitting 7, 8 irons. We're hitting some wedges on shorter holes. You know, maybe on some longer holes we're hitting some longer irons. But we get to use all of our clubs. And I think players should find a tee, regardless of what the name of the tee is, that they're comfortable at, and that allows them to hit a couple wedges into some greens, to hit some 7 irons into some greens. And, of course, on some longer holes, you might have to hit some hybrids and some fairway woods. But to do that all day long, to me, would be certainly frustrating. And it wouldn't be fun, and I wouldn't be running back to play golf again.
Yeah, I agree 100% as a former teaching professional. It's so important. I think the PGA has done a wonderful job of promoting it, and we as professionals need to jump on their coattails.
Agreed.
Mark, I have one more question for you. Now, I think I've seen Sarah Dixon swing, and I believe you mentioned earlier that you hit it from the left side, and Sarah is a lefty also. So is this like you don't teach right-handers, or what's the deal here?
That's a great point, Fred. Thanks for asking. I actually can swing from the right side. I don't know that you want to watch it, though. No, honestly, through years of doing golf schools and clinics and different things, I can hit it a little bit from the right side. I'm certainly better in short game. When I do short game schools, I can demonstrate right-handed, and I'm okay that way. But to get to your question and to answer it, it's just kind of a coincidence that Sarah and I are both left-handed and teach at the same school. We certainly teach right-handed. We teach all ages, from kids all the way up to full adults. What I find is that from a demonstration standpoint, I especially with kids, I'll have them mimic what I'm doing. So being left-handed actually is an advantage in that situation, where I can have a mirror what I'd like them to do.
Thanks so much for those timely tips, and we want to remind our listeners they can reach you if they're visiting the Naples area at durlandgolf.com, durlandgolf.com, and book a lesson with Mark. He'll get you fixed up so you won't be so frustrated on those bent on the Bermuda-type greens leaving the bed grass here up north. Before we get done today, Jason, I want to give a brief mention. We had Stephanie on from McDermott House Charities last episode, outing that you're going to be hosting is coming up February 21st. Give us a brief summary of that real quick before we get done here today, would you please?
Sure. Yeah, we're very excited. We're almost there, about a little over a month away. The field is filling up quite quickly now, especially after the broadcast last week. And, it's basically an event that John McDermott of the McDermott House Charities. And if you don't know who John is, I implore you to Google him. He's one of the three Irish tenors. He sings a number of national anthems at, I believe, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he's just a good philanthropic man. And he's hosting an event down here in Fort Myers at the the Forest Country Club, and to raise some funds for veterans of Canada and some organizations out of Boston as well. So I implore everyone to come to our website. You'll see it right in front and center. Click on it, read about what John and the McDermott House for Veterans sign up. It's going to be a fantastic day. John's putting on a concert at night. and all around a good group of people that want to do some good things in the community.
To get more information about the McDermott House outing at the Forest Country Club in Naples on February 21st, visit thegolflifenavigators.com. Go kind of down and to the right a little bit. You'll see their logo. Click on it. All the information will be right there. That wraps up another edition of Guide to Success. Jason, we had another full show loaded with advice and information from our retirement professionals today. Do you have any final thoughts before we sign off?
No, great show, Fred. I think that Dan, Mark, and I are going to go hit the beach. So I'm not sure what you got going on the rest of your day up in Ohio.
I'm going to the couch, sitting in front of the fire, and take a nap. Guide to Success endeavors to bring you the best real estate and financial advice when planning your retirement. Plus, Golf Life Navigator's mission is to understand your needs and desires to assure every retiree is matched with the perfect golf community to achieve a comfortable and enjoyable retirement to Florida. Visit their website at golflifenavigators.com.
Until next time, wishing you all fairways and green.
Thanks for listening to Golf Life Navigator's Guide to Success. For more insights or to get started with the Golf Life Navigators team, visit golflifenavigators.com and subscribe to the Golf Life Navigators podcast on TuneIn.